We're going to be learning now the Sicha, Parshas Mishpatim, Chelek Yud Aleph, the second Sicha, volume 11 of Lakuta Sichas, the second Sicha on Parshas Mishpatim. This Sicha is going to be an analysis on two Rashis, one of this week's Parsha and one in the end of last week's Parsha, Parshas Yisrei. And the Rebbe is going to analyze a rule that Rashi sets here in both of these Rashis on the language of the Torah. One of the words that the Torah uses quite often is the word im, aleph mem, as in this parsha, pasuk chav peir chav peis pasuk chav dala, chapter 22, verse 24. You have it on your handout, the first of pasuk, im kesef talves ami. If you lend your money to someone, to another Jew. And Rashi tells us that that is the incorrect interpretation of the verse, because that would tell us then that it's optional to lend a Jew money, when in fact it's a mitzvah to lend a person money when they're in need. So therefore Rashi tells us that while in every time the Torah tells us the word im, it means if, meaning it's an optional mitzvah or an optional commandment that the Torah is giving us, but in this case, the pasuk means when. Im here translates as when, meaning that it's an obligation. You're certainly going to do this mitzvah. When you will be doing this mitzvah of lending another Jew money, then you have the obligations to follow, as the pasuk continues, of when one lends money, how they have to treat the borrower. And this is a rule that Rabbi Yishmael teaches us, that kol im v'im sheva Torah, that whenever the Torah set uses the word im, it usually translates as a reshus, as an option. It's optional, meaning if. However, chutz mishleisha, except for three instances that the Torah uses the word im and refers to it as a commandment, meaning that when you will do it. And the ze'echad mehem, and this is one of the examples. What are the other two examples? So if we look in last week's parsha, the first of these examples, Rashi there gives us a little bit more details on this case. And on the verse in the end of Parshas Yisrei, chapter 20, page 22, again on your handout, there on the pasuk, v'mizbach avanim tasali, if you make for me a altar of stones, then you cannot make them out of cut stones. They need to be complete stones. And Rashi there again says the same concept. What does it mean if you're going to make a altar of stones? It's a mitzvah that one has to make an altar of stones. So therefore Rashi says, Rabbi Shmuel teaches us that this is one of the three places that the word im doesn't mean if, but it means when. When you will do this mitzvah that you're commanded to do. And then Rashi gives us the other example as well. So far we have the two examples. Our parsha, when you lend another person money. And then we have the end of last week's parsha, when you build a mizbeach, an altar of stone. Rashi gives us the third example is when the pasuk says, "Im takriv minchas bikurim," if you're going to bring a offering of the first grain. This is the korban haomer, the sacrifice that was brought on the second day of Pesach of the first crop of the year of the season, which was barley. And the Torah tells us that the very first barley has to be used as a sacrifice on the second day of Pesach, called the Korban HaOmer, following which we do the Sfiras HaOmer, the counting of the Omer follows that sacrifice. So we're probably very familiar with the idea of Sfiras HaOmer, counting the Omer. The word Omer actually means a measurement. It's the amount of the barley that was brought on this special sacrifice of the first of the crop of the year. So this too is a mitzvah, it's not an option. So therefore Rashi says here too, the pasuk means im, if, not if, but when you bring this mitzvah, when you bring this sacrifice. And then the pasuk continues to give us the details of how the sacrifice has to be brought and what does not qualify. So we have here three times that when the Torah uses the word im, it means when you do so-and-so, something that you're obligated to do, and not if. So the Rebbe asks a few questions on these Rashis. First of all, the obvious question is that the word im in the Torah doesn't always mean if, besides these three examples. And the Rebbe brings multiple examples where we see that the word im obviously means when you will do something. Examples that you have on the handout sheet, just to say one of them, im b'chukai saitelechu. If you follow my commandments, is that an option? Is it optional to follow the commandments of Hashem? Or in the verse right before that on the sheet, ata im shema tishma b'kaili, if you obey me faithfully, my laws faithfully, im, if. Of course, we have an obligation to follow the ways of Hashem, as well as multiple other psukim in the Torah that the word im clearly does not mean as an optional if you would like to do so. So why is Rashi telling us that there's only three? But more difficult is that Rashi himself actually mentions two other places clearly that the word im means when. And that is in this week's parasha itself. We have a pasuk that says, "Im koifar yushas olav." That is in chapter 21, verse 3, verse 30, and again on your handout sheet, where the Torah is talking about a person's ox that gores and kills a person. In that case, in addition to the punishment of the ox being killed for killing a human, the Torah also gives us a monetary payment that the owner has to pay as a koifer, as an atonement for this instance. So the Torah says, "Im koifer yushas alaf." Again, if we're going to translate it literally, it'll be if ransom is laid upon him. So then he has to pay whatever the amount that the court places on him. So here too says Rashi, "Im, if there's ransom," the Torah tells us that's an obligation for the court to place a ransom on him, to place a payment on the owner of this ox. So what does it mean if? And Rashi therefore says that just like in the parsha, when we talk about later in the parsha, when it says "im kesef talva ami," the pasuk that we're discussing here, that when you lend another Jew money, so here too the pasuk means when the court will enforce a payment on this fellow. So here too, we have here a second Rashi in this week's Parsha. The Rashi identifies a fourth Pasuk in our Parsha where the word im means when. So why does, or in Hebrew, by the way, asher or ka'asher. So why does Rashi here tell us that there's only three? Another place where Rashi gives us a fifth example is in that Pasuk that we mentioned earlier in Vayikra, chapter 2, verse 14, Pasuk Yudalid, where Rashi speaks about the mitzvah of the Karban Omer, the sacrifice of the Omer. And Rashi there tells us, as he mentioned in last week's parasha, that the word im in that Pasuk also means when you bring this sacrifice. Rashi gives a fifth example. He says this is similar to what will take place in Chumash Bamidbar when it speaks about the daughters of Tzlafchad, inheriting land that belonged to their father. And being that there were only daughters, the Torah goes into a whole discussion of what happens when they marry, does the land leave the tribe, and so on and so forth. And the Torah then speaks about what happens in a jubilee year, a year of Yovel, where we know that the Torah tells us that the laws of Yovel are that the land goes back to its original owner. So the Pasuk says, "V'im yi'a Yovel," and if there will be a jubilee year. Here too, Rashi says, if there will be a jubilee year. Of course there will be a jubilee year. It's one of the mitzvahs of the Torah. And therefore, Rashi says, this pasuk also means when there will be the jubilee year. So here we have five cases where Rashi himself tells us that the word im means when. Again, our pasuk that we're focusing on, im kesef tal v'ami, esami, when you lend a Jew money. The pasuk in last week's parasha, when you build a altar, a mizbeach of stone. The pasuk of the Karban Omer, bringing the sacrifice of the Omer, which is when you will bring the sacrifice of the Omer. These are the three that Rabbi Yishmael tells us. And then plus, we have two other verses that Rashi himself identified, the mitzvah of Yovel, when the year of the jubilee year comes, and then we have the fifth one in this week's parsha, im kofer yushas esami, when the court will place a ransom on the individual whose ox killed a human. So here we have five verses, and yet Rashi tells us that Rabbi Shmuel teaches us there's only three. And again, this is in addition to all the other places that it says im, that clearly means when you will do so, or even if it means if, it certainly doesn't mean that it's optional. So why does Rashi tell us that there's only three places, that everywhere it says the word im, it means optional except for these three places, when clearly there's many other? That's the primary question that we're focusing on. Two more questions that we have on the Rashi in this week's Parsha is two rules that the Rebbe would always focus on in teaching a Rashi. The first is that the Divrei HaMaskil, the quote that Rashi brings from the Pasuk, is exact, which means that when Rashi brings the words of the Pasuk that he's interpreting, he's using those, he's only going to quote the Pasuk, the words of the Pasuk that he has something to say on. And here, the quote that Rashi has is, Im Kesef Talva Es Ami, all five words of the Pasuk, when, as Rashi translates it, when you will lend money to someone of my nation. Seemingly, Rashi is only explaining the three words in Kesef Talva, the mitzvah of lending money. Why does he also add the words Es Ami, of my nation, to the Divrei HaMaskil, to the quote of the Pasuk? And fourth question, this is a question that Rashi, that the Rebbe always focused on Rashi. It's a rule that the Rebbe taught, that when Rashi doesn't generally have to tell us the author of the commentary that he's quoting. And generally Rashi takes his commentary from either the Medrash or the Gemara or wherever he took his commentary from. Even if the Gemara or the Medrash uses a name to tell us the author of this saying, Rashi doesn't bring it unless knowing who said it will answer a question, though this question is not going to be an obvious question that Rashi would have to address himself, but a question that a sharp student can pick up on by saying the name, and the name of the person tells us something about him, or he's very famous for another law, this will answer the question, so Rashi tells us the name. So the question here obviously is, what does the name Rabbi Shmuel teach us in this Rashi? Just to go back on the Rashi at the end of Chumash, at the end of Parshas Yisrei, the one about the stones on the Mizbeach, here, there's a couple of questions too, in addition to, obviously, he mentions Rabbi Shmuel's names and the questions that we bring on this Rashi, which are obviously relevant to that Rashi as well. There's another question that we can bring up here, another couple of questions. Number one, Rashi brings two verses that tell us that it's an obligation to A, lend someone money, and B, to build a mizbeach, to build an altar of stone. But when it comes to the pasuk, to the mitzvah of bringing the carbon omer, Rashi doesn't show us that it's a mitzvah. Why does he have to prove to us that it's a mitzvah to lend money and that it's a mitzvah to build an altar, but he does not bring the pasuk that will tell us that it's an obligation to bring the carbon omer? And second, the pasuk that he brings for the mitzvah to bring a stone, Rashi brings a pasuk that Rashi brings one pasuk, but there's another pasuk that is in the Chumash even prior to that. I'm not going to focus, not everyone has the sikh in front of them, but it will be understood why Rashi brings this specific pasuk in according to the Rebbe's explanation. So the answer that the Rebbe proposes here to explain this principle of Rashi is as follows. Rashi is not giving us a rule for every im in the Torah. As we said right from the beginning, it's obvious that in the Torah, the word im has multiple interpretations. Sometimes it means, most of the times we could even say it means if you will do something, if something will happen, and sometimes it can mean when something will happen, which means not always is the word im in the Torah an optional context. Sometimes the word im actually means you have to do something. At the same time, Rashi is telling us that there is a category of psukim that are not talking about stories or setting up a circumstance, but rather the Torah is telling us something that we need to do, or the Torah is suggesting something we should do. And it's in that category that Rashi says that if the Torah is never told us to do something, the Torah never instructed us to do a mitzvah, and now the Torah is telling us, im, if so-and-so will happen, you will do so-and-so. So then we have to accept that the Torah is telling us that im means optional, if you're going to do something. That's the meaning of the word im in the context of the Torah telling us, in a pasuk that can either be understood that the Torah is telling us to do something because the Torah never told us to do it before, or the Torah is giving us an option to do something, again, because we've never been told to do it. In those circumstances, the word im always means if you're going to do it, which means that the Torah is giving us an option. Except for three places that the Torah uses the word im, even though it did not tell us yet that we have a mitzvah to do this, but Rashi's telling us in these three cases, the word im means that we have an obligation to do this. The three examples are, even though the Torah never told us that we have an obligation to lend a Jew money, the Torah is telling us im, you have im, not if you're going to lend someone money, but the Torah is telling us that it's a mitzvah to lend another person money. Even though the Torah never told us that we have an obligation to build a mizbeach of avanim, a altar of stone, the Torah is telling us here, im avanim means, Rashi is telling us im avanim means when you will build this altar, because it's a mitzvah to do so. And similarly, when the Torah tells us in the third case about the carbon to Omer, even though the Torah had not yet told us that it's a mitzvah to bring the carbon to Omer, yet the Torah is telling us that im, that Rashi is telling us when the Torah says that when im minchas bikurim, if you bring a carbon mincha of the Omer, it doesn't mean if, it means when you bring it, because it's a mitzvah to do these three things. All the other times that the Torah uses the word im, even though it could mean that it's an obligation, but it doesn't fit that category. So for example, im b'chukai saiteleichu, if you're going to do the mitzvahs, that's not optional. We already know that it's a mitzvah to follow Hashem's commandments. So obviously the word im there means when you fulfill Hashem's commandments, or in the circumstance that you will fulfill your obligations of doing what Hashem wants. So the word im is not a reshus. The word im is not an option in those psukim, obviously, because the Torah already made it very clear that we have an obligation to follow what Hashem wants. And the same thing follows in all the other places that we use the word im. Either it means that it's optional, or even if it's an obligation, it's an obligation that we already know that the Torah gave us. So it's obvious that the word im there means an obligation. It's only in these cases where it's unclear, is it an obligation or is it optional? Because the Torah hasn't yet told us that we need to do this. It's in those cases that, being that it's unclear, that the Torah is telling us that Rashi is telling us, yes, usually I would understand this as optional, but I want to make it clear that this is a mitzvah. This is an obligation. Why would I think that lending money to another person is, now let's go to the Rashi in Yisrei. A person can say, over here, the word im is obviously a mitzvah, because we already know that it's an obligation to lend a person money. How do we know it's an obligation to lend? Why would I think it's an obligation to lend someone money? Because the Torah tells us already in Parshas Vayera, in Chumash Bereshis, that when Avram taught his descendants to give his children to give charity, as the pasuk says, and you have in their handout in Parshas Vayera, chapter 18, verse 19. That Avram loved Hashem loved Avram because he commanded them to give charity to his children, to give charity, to go in the ways of Hashem. So I may have thought that this is a pasuk that tells us that it's an obligation to give, to lend someone money. So therefore, Rashi makes it clear that that's not the mitzvah of the Torah. And being that it's not a mitzvah, that's not one of the mitzvah of the Torah. So this pasuk does fit into the category of verses that can go either way. And therefore, the Torah is making it very clear that, Rashi is making it clear that this is the exception to the rule, that it means im, when you do it, because it's a mitzvah to lend someone money. Similarly, in the pasuk about the complete stones, we have a pasuk again in Chumash Bereishis Parshas Vayetze, where it discusses Yaakov building an altar, and it says that Yaakov built an altar out of stone. Vayikachas ha'even. So here too, I may think that we see here that it's a mitzvah to build an altar of stone. So therefore, Rashi says, I want to make it clear that this is not the source of the mitzvah of building a altar of stone. Rather, it's a mitzvah that's going to be stated first in Chumash Devarim, and therefore this pasuk fits into the category of something that we're unsure of whether it's a mitzvah or not, And that's why we need to clarify im keset tava ami and im mizbeach avonim tivne, that these are not optional, but they are a mitzvah, even though it's the first time that the Torah is telling us, despite the fact that we may have thought that the Torah told us before. However, when it comes to the pasuk of the Omer, there's no thought to say that the Torah told us this before. So Rashi doesn't have to prove to us that this pasuk was that this is a new pasuk about a new mitzvah that fits the category of something that can either be, at this point, can either be thought as of optional or as a commandment, because we haven't yet been told about this mitzvah. And it's obvious. It's only about the first two that Rashi wants to make it clear that the way that we know that it's a mitzvah to lend someone money and to build a mizbeach of avonim is not based on what the Torah tells us about the avos in Chumash Bereishis, but it's on the psukim that we know of later. So this answers the main idea that Rashi is only teaching us about psukim that we have not been told yet whether they're a mitzvah or not. And it's about these psukim that I may have thought that being that we don't know if it's a mitzvah or not, the Torah is telling us either to do it or giving us the option to do it. And therefore, Rashi is making it clear that yes, generally the word im would mean if, but in this circumstance, the pasuk means that we have an obligation to do it. What about the other two categories, the psukim that Rashi clearly said, seemingly Rashi is telling us fit into these categories as well? So the Rebbe here says also, we could take a look at these psukim and we can see that they don't fit this category. All Rashi's telling us is other examples where the word im mean when you do it. But Rashi is not telling us that they're part of the category of these mitzvahs that need to be taught in this way. So for let's begin with the yovel. Although the word im yovel, when the pasuk speaks about yovel and it says, Rashi is telling us very clearly that it doesn't mean if there will be a jubilee year, because there will certainly be a jubilee year. But this pasuk is not giving us a commandment that we should make a jubilee year, as if there's an option. Should we make a jubilee? Should we not make a jubilee year? It's obvious that it will be a jubilee year. A jubilee year happens regardless whether I do it or not. The jubilee year is the 50th year. Every 50th year is going to be a jubilee year. So obviously, over here in this pasuk, it means when the jubilee year will come to be. So therefore, Rashi's not telling us that this is one of the psukim that fit into this category of psukim that can either be understood as an option for us to do or as a commandment for us to do. Because this mitzvah is not a commandment to the Jew to make a jubilee year or not. It's a jubilee year will happen on its own, or at the most, it's going to be through the Bezdin, through the court, that's going to establish the jubilee year. The Torah is just telling us when the jubilee year comes. So therefore, Rashi chooses to use this pasuk where it's very clear that the word im means when, in order to clarify and tell us that this is what the meaning of the pasuk im can be translated in the Torah as, when it will be. Similarly, the pasuk that says im kayfa yushas esami, the pasuk from our parsha that speaks about the ransom for the owner of the ox that killed a human. Here too, it's not a question of the Torah telling us you should do this, you shouldn't do that. It's not a common thing for an animal to be goring people in general, as we understand from this week's parsha, all the laws, that the Torah always saw it as an uncommon idea. Second, an ox to kill a human was even less common. So therefore, the Torah is telling us that when this happens, this is what needs to take place. So yes, the word im in this pasuk means when the court will bring this this ransom upon this person. But it clearly doesn't fit the category of mitzvahs that we're obligated to do, that the Torah is giving us a category. I read this pasuk, I'm like, is it an obligation for me to do, or is it an option for me to do? That doesn't fit this category, because this is not something that the Torah is obligating me to do on a regular basis. So therefore, if we're going to look at the psukim that could fit into this category of things that the Torah is telling me for the first time, and the Torah is telling it to me in a language that it's commanding to me, here is a mitzvah I want you to do. Or I could have translated it as, here's something you may want to do. And that category of psukim, it will always mean, here's something, if you want, it's a good idea for you to do. The Torah is giving us an option to do it. It's not commanding us to do it, except for three psukim: building an altar of stone, lending a Jew money, and bringing the carbon to Omer. In these cases, even though the Torah had not yet told us that it's an obligation, and even though the Torah seems to be telling us either do it, I could translate it in two ways, either do it or it's an option, Rashi's telling us that it's an option, it's a commandment to do it, and not an option. This explains why Rashi also quotes the verse from the Pasuk, the words, Es Ami, my people. Being that Rashi's telling us that this is something that's a commandment, it's something that I know we have to do, I may have felt and said, maybe this Pasuk is an option, because this Pasuk is not one of the things that we're obligated to do, because maybe it's talking about lending money in general, and lending money in general is not a mitzvah. The mitzvah is uniquely to lend money to a Jew. And the reason for that is, when the Torah commands us to lend money, it's commanding us to lend us money interest-free. Lending money interest-free is a big mitzvah. It's not something that we can understand that we have to do to anyone who needs to borrow money. It's something that we need to do for family members. And this, the Torah says, we need to treat all Jewish people as family members, that when they're in need of money, we need to lend them the money interest-free. And as Rambam says, it's the greatest form of charity. So therefore, this is only unique for the Jewish people. But for a non-Jewish person, it's definitely very nice to lend them money. In fact, it's a good idea to lend them money, but it's not a mitzvah. The mitzvah is Es Ami, my nation. And therefore, Rashi quotes those words to make it clear that this pasuk is teaching us a mitzvah to lend money, which is unique for the Jewish people. But at the end of all this, we still need to clarify and know, is it really a mitzvah to lend someone money? Maybe it's not a mitzvah to lend someone money. And to answer that question, Rashi brings the name of Rabbi Yishmael. What do we know about Rabbi Yishmael? So in Parshas Beshalach, there's a very beautiful Rashi about how a Jew has to interact with the balance of learning Torah and working to feed his family. The pasuk speaks about the manna that came down from heaven, and the pasuk says that the man has to be that Moshe should take a jar. Lemishmeres, as a safeguard, as a remembrance, as a guard, preserving it for generations to come. And Rashi tells us that what was this l'doyre seichem, for generations they should know about the man. And you have it on your handout page number 5 on the bottom, that in days of Yirmiyahu, of Jeremiah, when Yirmiyahu rebuked the Yidden, and he told them, why aren't you studying Torah? So they said, what do you mean? We need to work, we need to support our families. Where are we going to support our families if we're studying Torah from? So Yirmiyahu took out from the Beis HaMikdash the jar of the man, and he says, look, there was a generation that studied Torah all day, and God provided them manna from heaven. You should do the same. God has many different ways to provide for you to study Torah. So if we read this Rashi, we could come to a thought that a Jew has an obligation to study Torah. And if he studies Torah, and he studies Torah in a way that he will certainly study Torah completely, Hashem will certainly, like Yirmiyahu says, will provide him all that he needs, all the sustenance that he needs for his family, including in all means that he won't have to rely on anyone else. So then in such a case, why are we saying that we should lend him money? If he needs someone to lend him money, perhaps that means that he has not yet fulfilled his obligation of studying Torah properly, that Hashem should provide him all that he needs, or maybe he's sinned in other ways. So maybe such a person is not a person that we have an obligation to lend money to. So therefore, Rashi introduces the name Rabbi Yishmael in order to tell us that Rabbi Yishmael was someone who taught us that what Rashi's telling us is not a common occurrence. In the days of Yirmiyahu felt it necessary to teach the Jewish people this lesson uniquely for his generation. But Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, the Rashbi, he did follow this idea. And he said that a person has to study Torah, do what Hashem wants, and Hashem will provide. And the Talmud says, people tried to do it like Rashbi, and it didn't work for them. It's a unique situation that that the Jews have to be told that they have to study Torah and completely to rely on Hashem. Whereas Rabbi Yishmael says, the Pasuk says, Vasafta de ganecha, that you have to gather in your grain, which means the Torah obligates us to work, and that we have to learn how to balance our life between work and study of Torah. And therefore, we need to do what's natural to learn Torah, to provide for our families, and we have to do whatever we need to do to provide for our families. Sometimes it works, we do what we're supposed to do and it works well, and as a result of that, we have what we need to provide our families. Sometimes we didn't do perfectly what we were supposed to do to make the vessel for Hashem's brachas in our work and going to work. We made a bad deal, or whatever it is, so we need to borrow money. And in that case, it's a mitzvah to lend other people money. And that's why Rashi brings us the name Rabbi Yishmael. All right. In order to let us know that it's Rabbi Yishmael who teaches us that it's a mitzvah to lend money, because Rabbi Yishmael tells us that the need for a Jew to borrow money does not mean that the Jew did not follow the proper directive of the Torah of how he leads his life. Just go on to the pasuk, why Rashi brings it by the Mizbeach of Avonim. There's actually a disagreement of what does a pasuk, the pasuk that comes before the pasuk of building a Mizbeach of Avonim. The pasuk before that says, Mizbeach Adama Tasali, you should build a Mizbeach of earth. So Rashi brings that there's two opinions of how this should be built. One opinion is that it should be built directly onto the earth, not on poles, on beams, on stilts. It has to be directly on the earth. The other opinion is that in the Mishkan, when they built the altar of copper, they filled it with earth and not with stone. This is actually, though Rashi doesn't bring the names there, but this is actually a dispute between two sages. And Rabbi Yishmael is the one who says that it should not be built on stilts. And therefore, Rashi wants to make it clear that this, I may have translated, if we're going to say that Mizbech Adama means not to make it on the ground, so then that means that we're going to understand that the previous pasuk means that we're not, that the Mizbeach has to be on top. In such a case, where the next pasuk that speaks about how to build the Mizbeach is not speaking about the commandment of the Mizbeach I'm sorry, let me go back a moment and say this a little clearer. According to the interpretation that the pasuk means that you should fill it with earth, which is talking about the Mizbeach in the desert. So then we can say that the next pasuk, the pasuk that follows, that says that you need to make, that if you're going to build the Mizbeach with stones, so then that's talking about the Mizbeach, the same Mizbeach. And the Torah is telling us that if you want to fill it with stones, this is how it should be filled. But according to the first, and then the pasuk im can mean if you want to fill it with earth, then you fill it with earth. If you want to fill it with stone, so then make it with stones that are complete. And then the word im can be optional. But according to the interpretation, that the word im means that you're not allowed to build it. That the Mizbeach Adama means that you have to build it on the ground. So then that's not talking about how to build a Mizbeach. Let's talk of what materials to build a Mizbeach. That's only talking about how the Mizbeach is built when you have your Mizbeach already. So therefore, when the Pasuk speaks about building a Mizbeach with stone, that's talking about the Mizbeach that will be in Eretz Yisrael. So if so, the word im cannot mean if. And being that Rabbi Yishmael is the one who says the first interpretation, if I said it incorrectly before, I'm correcting it now. Rabbi Yishmael is the one who says that the Mizbeach of Adama means to build the Mizbeach on the ground. So therefore, the next pasuk, im Mizbeach Avonim, is not the same Mizbeach. Here we're talking about the Mizbeach that will be built in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore it's understood that the word im is not optional, whether you want to fill it with earth or whether you want to fill it with stone. It's specifically talking about filling it with stone. Building it with stone, which will be when we come to Eretz Yisrael. And therefore this im is also a mitzvah, that in Eretz Yisrael, you need to build it with stone. Another reason why Rashi brings Rabbi Yishmael's name. The truth is, there's another famous machlekes between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva, not about the word im, but there's some mitzvahs that sometimes can be understood as an obligation and sometimes can be understood as an option, a reshus or a chayva. We're not going to go into details what those examples are, but those are examples that the Torah gives us. The Gemara brings in Saita, Machlekes, all the different psukim that can be understood if the Torah is giving us an obligation, the Torah is suggesting. The Torah, that Rabbi Yishmael says, whenever the Torah says, when you haven't thought of it being an option or a mitzvah, accept it as being an option. However, Rabbi Akiva says that if you're unsure if the Torah is giving you an option or a mitzvah, you have to accept that it's a mitzvah. And so therefore, this fits now Rabbi Yishmael's opinion here also, that when the word im can be understood as an option, we'll always accept it as an option, except for the exclusion of these particular cases. The Rebbe always concluded Rashi Sichos with telling us that there is a deep message in Chassidus and how we serve Hashem from the mitzvah, from the Rashi. And so the conclusion of this sikha, the Rebbe explains a beautiful lesson in service of Hashem. Rabbi Yishmael was a Kohen Gadol. A Kohen Gadol is a person that always is Kaddish, is holy from birth to serve Hashem. Rabbi Akiva, as we know, came from descendants of converts. He also himself did not begin studying Torah till he was 40 years old. According to some Midrashim, he wasn't even particularly righteous till he was 40 years old. And so here we have the difference of how to serve Hashem, the way Rabbi Yishmael's approach and Rabbi Akiva's approach. Rabbi Yishmael was a tzaddik. A tzaddik, we know, sometimes the Torah can say that because he's a tzaddik, we can rely that he'll make the right decisions. So therefore, it's a reshus. It's an option for him to do things. When possible, we say it's a reshus. Certain times, the Torah says no. There's exceptions that Rabbi Yishmael says three times that it's a mitzvah. But generally speaking, Rabbi Shmuel is comfortable saying that it's a reshus, that it's an option. However, Rabbi Akiva, who was a ben gerim, Rabbi Akiva, symbolizes a bal tshuva. A bal tshuva sometimes needs more care that he's doing everything proper. And therefore, when I have a question, is it a mitzvah or is it an option? We rather go ahead to say that it's a mitzvah in order to make sure that he does the right thing and he makes the right conclusions, which is a good lesson for each of us. That sometimes we're very comfortable in our ways of what we want to do, and we're saying, oh, we can do it, we're okay, we'll make the right decisions. But being that we know that we have a Yetzirah that may take us off in the wrong way, we therefore have to be very careful to make sure that we do what's right, and sometimes we need extra precautions. The Torah says it's a mitzvah, you need to do it, in order that it's clear that we do the right thing. The Rebbe concludes with saying that this also explains why it's a mitzvah to learn Chassidus in our generations, even if in earlier generations it wasn't the case, because in our generation, because we know that we need extra precaution to make sure we do the right thing, the Torah is giving us a mitzvah to learn Chassidus in order to know that with the strength of Chassidus, we'll do the right thing until the time when Mashiach will come, may be speedily in our days.